I will look to the Lord as we come to his own word. Our loving Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we pray that this night the word of the Lord will run and have free course. The word that brings light where there's spiritual darkness. The word that brings life where there is spiritual death. We pray that that word will work mightily in this meeting house, in all of our hearts. O minister to us, and may none leave despising thine infinite love and thy tender mercy. We pray that the goodness of God in Christ will lead others to repentance and saving faith. Bless us here, we pray. Be our wisdom, our strength, our helper, our all in all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will take our Bibles in our hands, opening them at Luke chapter 5. And in the verse 21, we want to lift these words. Luke chapter 5 and verse 21. And the words are, "Who is this? Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" The fame, the notoriety aroused by the presence of the Son of God in Galilee was at fever pitch. Throughout the region, there was one topic of conversation. Everyone was speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. The miracles which the Lord wrought were spoken of far and near. The Lord's every step was scrutinized and carefully examined. The pressing question on every lip was that of our text. Who is this? Some concluded this was Elijah, or one of the prophets of Elijah's time, risen from the dead. Herod heard some suggesting that it was John the Baptist. The question just would not go away. It was raised by the Lord's friends, the Lord's enemies, raised by the pressing multitudes in the streets of Jerusalem. Here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 21, the question was asked by the scribes and the Pharisees. It was asked in the house of Simon in John chapter 7 and the verse 49. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" The question was raised by the disciples on the storm-tossed sea of Galilee in chapter 8 and verse 25. In the middle of the verse, "What manner of man is this?" Or, "Who is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The question was asked by Herod in chapter 9 and verse 9. He said, "John have I beheaded, but who is this? of whom I hear such things. So clearly this is a recurring question. And since that is so, we ought to give careful attention to it. Nothing is repeated in the Word of God without reason. If the Pharisees, Herod, the Jews, and the disciples all pondered the question, "Who is this?" then we ought to do likewise. We must not only dwell on the question itself, but having found the answer to it, respond appropriately. So first of all, let us come to the recognition in this question. On the part of the scribes and the Pharisees, there is a recognition in the question that they did not know him. To the Pharisees who questioned John the Baptist, his identity, he responded in John 1 and the verse 26, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not." The Lord was standing in their midst, but they had no clue, no understanding of who he was. We might well say that's to be expected, for the Lord has only commenced his public ministry. But at the very conclusion of his earthly ministry, the Jews were still raising this question, "Who is this?" They were eyewitnesses of his wonderful works. They saw the dead raised to life. They witnessed the lame walking and the blind being made to see. And still they did not know him. There were those who saw the Lord take the 5 loaves in his creative hands and multiply them to feed the 5,000. They ate that miraculous provision, and still they did not know him. The Pharisees, of course, prided themselves in what they knew. They were the learned in society, but they did not know him. The Jews, they were orthodox, meticulous in observing sacrifices and ceremonies under the law. They were diligent and reverent in the study of the Old Testament scriptures. But sadly, they did not know him. What blindness, darkness there is over the mind. Oh, it's possible to read the scriptures and Christ is revealed on every page. The way of salvation is made plain from Genesis to Revelation, but so many cannot see it. This is an age of education, high-tech age, advanced knowledge. Today, men and women know many things. Knowledge is increasing. But what does it all amount to if on the border of eternity you do not know the Lord as your Savior? This is the greatest of all discoveries. Have you made it? Do you know him? Are you his? Are you saved? If we think of the incident with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in Luke chapter 8 and verse 25, they asked, "Who then is this whom the winds and the water obey?" They were the Lord's. They belong to him. But they, like you and I, they had much to learn. And we're always in the Lord's school. After years of valiant service for the Lord, the great apostle Paul had this yearning expressed in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The apostle Paul is in a quest for more and more, a greater understanding of his Lord and Savior. The mark is Christ. He's pressing toward that mark, the prize of the high calling of God in him. We read these interesting words in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. Here's how to get to know him. Communing with him. Supping with him. You say, I'm a Christian, but are you vigorously following on to know him, actively seeking to grow up in him so that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? The recognition in this question, the recognition that they did not know him. But then we think of the reaction to the question, who is this? The scribes and the Pharisees here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 21, they responded denying the Lord's divinity. Who is this, they said, which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh, they were right in believing only God can forgive sin. But they were wrong in concluding that Jesus Christ was not divine, not God. The Lord could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Lord could declare, I and my Father are one. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but the Word, the Lord, never ceased to be God. He is God manifest in flesh. They denied his divinity. And there are many deniers of Christ tonight in the land. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22 asks, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. The Jehovah's Witnesses, called by the wrong name, the Mormons, they are deniers of Christ. They denied the Lord's divinity and his authority to forgive sin. Oh, the religionists and the Pharisees were in that number. The religious people today have no time for the biblical truth that Jesus saves, that he saves to the uttermost. Who is this that forgives sins, they ask. The successors of these Pharisees, they do all in their power to keep you from coming to the only Redeemer. Oh, they will be happy if you embrace religiosity. They will have you concentrate on side issues like baptism, as in John 1 and the verse 25. The Pharisees asked John, they said unto him, "Why baptizest thou them, thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" They were concentrating. Their emphasis was on baptism. It will make you wetter, but it will make you no better. John the Baptist focused their minds on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He alone has the words of eternal life. When we come among those who know the Lord as their personal Savior, if we think of those disciples again in Luke chapter 8 and verse 25 and their reaction amidst the storm, they asked in Luke chapter 8 and verse 25, "Who is this whom the winds and the water obey?" They were amazed. And when you see yourself as the most hell-deserving sinner, lost and undone, and when you see the Lord's love and his mercy that has plucked you as a brand from the burning, in amazement you can only say, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." How amazing that the Lord should have plucked us as a brand from the burning. Who then is this? There are many like Herod. Their conscience is awakened, and they react with terror. They fear the name of the one who will judge the living and the dead, for they have hardened their hearts against the Son of God. They are reprobate sinners. What is your reaction to the question, "Who is this?" We think of the reasoning in the question. The scribes and the Pharisees, the text says, began to reason. The Lord was not who the people thought he was. He was not Elijah, not John the Baptist, nor one of the prophets risen from the dead. They reasoned through all of those lines, but their reasoning was askew. And perhaps this evening, the Lord is not who you think he is. You have a picture of Christ in your thoughts, and it's far removed from the scriptural revelation that we have of him. You view him as the one who would take the sparkle out of life. You consider him as the one who would take away from your life's experience the best that life has to offer. He would take the joy out of your living you maintain. He would encase you in death before your time. Luther, when an Augustinian monk, he worshipped and prayed and cast and whipped himself. He lay awake through the night. He did penance of every kind. in order to meet and satisfy God's demands. But when the light of the gospel shone in, he saw that Jesus Christ was the one whom he thought he was not. He saw that the Lord was the mighty to pardon, able to pardon, the one who delights to pardon. He saw that through saving faith in the Son of God, he could be justified freely from all things. Oh, this text leads to the great conclusion. He's the one who forgives sins. By the shedding of his precious blood, Jesus Christ has made full atonement. The blood of God incarnate has been shed for many at Calvary, and there is remission. Who is this? This is the sinner's Savior. In Luke 5, the friends brought the palsied man to Christ. And the Lord had this message for him. Verse 20, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Is this true of you? Oh, that you would come in your reasoning to this conclusion. That you would look away from yourself, away from church, away from religious organization, and look to the cross, and look to Christ and his precious blood. He's the mighty to save sinners. He not only forgives sins, he stands with his people in the howling storms of life. That's the message from Luke 8. And verse 25, in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, those disciples, remember, asked this question, "Who is this whom the waters and the winds obey?" And often in our experience, a storm brews up suddenly. And it's unexpected, and we're unprepared, and we're unable to row our frail vessel through the storm. It's too much for us. But the Lord's at the helm. He's the captain of our frail vessel. And we hear him drawing alongside, saying, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We can smile at the storm when we have Christ in the vessel as we go sailing home. Who is this? He is the judge of all the earth, the one whom Herod feared, having beheaded John the Baptist, having rejected mercy and grace. Revelation chapter 6 brings us to the judgment day, the last day, the day of reckoning of account. Revelation 6 verses 16 and 17. "And there will be those gathered who will say to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" The wrath of the Lamb, the day of the wrath of the Lamb, is before us here. What a fearful day. All who will be there will have tramped under the feet the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and they will answer for their own sins. Their Christ rejection means they will pay for their own sins in the undying fires of the wrath that is forever to come. Oh, who is this? Here is the reasoning and the conclusion that we come to. He's the Savior of sinners, the Savior of the world. He's the strength of His people. He's the supreme judge of all the earth, the one with whom we all have to do. Finally, we come to the reception that this question demands. Knowing who the Lord is, knowing that He is mighty to save us, able to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness in His own blood, then you ought to come. You ought to seek Him with your whole heart, acknowledging your sin in His presence, confessing it to Him alone who has power on earth to forgive every sin. In Psalm 32 and verse 3, David said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." In other words, there was a time when David refused to confess his sin. He did not acknowledge, own his sin. He kept silent on the matter. Are you silent in regard to your sin before God? While you refuse to confess your sin to the Lord, your sins are taking you to a lost eternity. We have these solemn words in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, shall not prosper." There is no human covering for your sin. You cannot cover them. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Don't we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, that tonight you would come in your helplessness, in all of your great need. The Lord has promised, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." He will not cast you away. It's a true saying. It's a faithful saying. This man, the God-man, the man of Calvary, he receives sinners. May you be able to say, in response to the question, "This is my Savior. This is my Lord and my all, my Redeemer, my friend." Who is this? May you tonight fall in with the offer of gospel mercy. May you go from this house rejoicing that your sins have been forgiven, put away beneath the Savior's blood. May the Lord bless His word to every heart.